here's how this started. We're about to do our Monday expert segments, and I was talking with our movie reviewer Graham Tuckett about the documentary Mystify, which is about the life of Michael Hutchence, lead singer from the band INXS. And part of Michael Hutchence's story, and the new film reflects on this, is that close friends and family believe he was never the same after a traumatic head injury. Bursts of anger and a descent into depression were part of his final journey, which ended with him taking his own life. And so I sort of mused out loud that it would be interesting to do a feature about brain injuries. And so doctors from ABI rehabilitation specialists were listening. They were only too happy to answer the call, and they got in touch with us. So I'm joined by the medical director of ABI Rehabilitation. She's Dr. Tanya Harris, and she's in studio with me in Auckland. Hello there.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All the way from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come out for the job?
I did. So I was the medical director at the VA in Florida, and I was the TBI polytrauma director. And I was offered the opportunity to come out here and make a national change, and I could not help myself. I had to.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about your background?
Okay. So,
like, why did you get into this area?
Okay. When I was very young, my grandmother had epilepsy. And so I was inundated about issues with the brain, and I had a voracious appetite for reading up anything I could about the brain. My mother was a nurse, and I read her medical books and tried to figure things out. And so I was actually determined to become a neurologist, not a rehabilitation doctor, for most of my young life. And I volunteered at a neurology clinic during my high school years and also my college year, my university years. And when I started medical school, I had a preceptor, basically someone who guided me along the way and oversaw me when I saw patients. And she took an interest in me, and she took me to the side and asked me what I wanted to do. And so I told her, neurology. I want to be a neurologist. And she looked at me. For a minute, she didn't say anything. And then she said, don't do that. Be a rehab doc. And I looked at her and I said, well, I don't know anything about addiction and I don't want to deal with addiction. I'd rather be a neurologist. And she explained to me she meant physical rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different from the type of rehab I was thinking.
Yeah.
And she was a rehabilitation physician and she kind of just guided me throughout my time in medical school. And by the time I was done with med school, I was convinced that that would be my specialty. And so I went into rehab, but I never lost that interest in neurology. So I became a neuro rehabilitation physician.
Okay. So when we talk about brain injuries, what sorts of injuries are we talking about?
It can be from any external force. So just starting from the basics, brain injury is a disruption in brain function from any external force. It doesn't have to be directly to the brain. You can have a head injury from a whiplash injury. And it can be run the gamut from falls to motor vehicle collisions to penetrating injuries. When I was working for the VA, most of what we saw was blast exposure.
Can you explain VA to New Zealand listeners?
Okay. So the VA is the largest medical organization in the U.S. It's the Veterans Association. And basically what we did is we saw veterans from all the different wars, from World War II all the way up to present day Afghanistan and Iraq, and treated them for any combat-related injuries. Mm-hmm. So knowing today that we have soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, you have to account for all the blast injuries from IEDs, improvised explosive devices. That was our number one injury.
How do you categorize brain injuries?
Okay. So you can categorize them by the mechanism of injury, such as falls and motor vehicle collisions, so forth, what we were talking about, but also the severity of injury. So there is mild, moderate, and severe. Nowadays, mild is known as concussion. It's synonymous, same thing. and moderate and severe, significantly more significant. And basically, they categorize them by the situation around the time of head injury. Does the person have loss of consciousness? Are they confused? Do they have memory issues? How long do those persist? And depending on how long those symptoms or signs persist, you can categorize them into mild, moderate, and severe. And they're treated differently. Mild is usually treated on an outpatient basis. You don't have to necessarily go into the hospital or stay overnight in the hospital, but moderate and severe typically need more help.
There are two types of way that a brain can be affected by an injury, right? It can happen during the initial collision or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
So there's afterwards.
Yeah. So there's primary head injury and secondary head injury. Primary is from the initial jolt or trauma to the head. It can be from the tearing of the neurons, the shearing of the neurons, the blood vessels. It's that initial impact and the damage it does. Secondary injury is more from the inflammatory cascade that happens afterwards. So after your brain takes the trauma, there's release of inflammatory factors, there's swelling, and with the swelling, there's going to be loss of ability to oxygenate the brain. You're going to have cell death and decomposition, and that can be hours later. So a lot of times people don't realize the secondary injury can actually be worse than the primary injury. You might have the initial hit. And it's not till hours later where you start noticing how bad things really are.
If you're onto it with the first, it's a New Zealand phrase, I hope you've learned that in your 10 months in New Zealand. If you're onto it with the treatment of the first, of the primary injury, can you reduce or avoid the secondary injuries?
There's research right now working on that. Moderate hypothermia has been shown to be helpful. That's not something a person is going to be able to do at home, unfortunately.
Okay. Someone asks if illnesses can cause brain injury-like symptoms. Do you come across that as well, where brain injury is caused not by a collision but by an illness or a virus? Okay.
So what we're talking about, traumatic brain injury, is specifically from trauma. There's a whole host of other brain issues that can happen from viruses or autoimmune problems. We see strokes in our facility as well. Those aren't necessarily traumatic. They're more blood flow related.
Mm-hmm.
But we see all of them. Sometimes you can have a traumatic brain injury cause a stroke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you rarely have a viral illness cause. You really need that trauma to be able to call it traumatic.
How do you diagnose a brain injury?
It's clinical, mostly. So it's not something that we can just test for with blood work, although we are trying. We've been trying for 20 years to come up with a test like that. There is some news that Penn State is coming out with a salivary test to test for head injury, but it's not confirmed.
Mm.
Okay. But basically, the way we figure it out is through the clinical presentation, review of the history, review of physical exam. Are there any neurologic findings on examination that are of concern? And of course, you can also do imaging like CAT scan to see if there's any bleed or any trauma that's present on there.
So it will be visible in some way?
So most head injuries are not visible. Okay. 90% of head injuries are mild. Okay, so that means they're concussions. Concussions don't show up on CAT scans or MRIs. You can scan someone all day long and it'll come back perfectly normal. So having a normal scan doesn't mean you don't have a head injury. It means you don't have a moderate or severe head injury, but that doesn't mean you're not affected. You can have pretty terrible issues, symptoms, sequelae afterwards and have a perfectly fine CAT scan or MRI.
So what are some of the symptoms of a brain injury?
Okay. So the symptoms are divided into somatic, meaning related to the body, such as dizziness, vision problems, headache. There are cognitive issues such as difficulty with concentration, memory, slow thinking. There's also behavioral issues. A person can have increased agitation, aggression. They can be anxious. They can be depressed, a really hard time dealing with frustration. So all those three segments or categories of symptoms can help a person figure out if there's something to look for in terms of a head injury.
Can you tell me more about the frustration one? That one sounds quite interesting.
So the thing about head injury is usually it will affect the frontal lobe or the prefrontal cortex. The inside of our skull is pretty smooth except for inside the frontal area, which is right behind our eyes, and the temporal area, which is around our ears. Okay, so when we have a head injury, those are the areas of the brain that are most commonly affected. And just so you know, the prefrontal cortex is where patience lives. So if a person has head injury, they're going to have, more often than not, some issues with a short fuse or no fuse. Very common among our patients.
There'll be people listening, I'm sure, that this will be ringing bells for. If you've got a comment you'd like to make or a question that you'd like to ask, you can text me on 2101, like this person who says, 15 years ago I sustained a mild traumatic brain injury after a fall while hiking. Even though classed as mild, it had a huge impact on my life. I've considered myself healed for several years now. However, I continue to be far more susceptible to stress and anxiety. Is this typical of head injuries, and particularly so long after the accident?
Yes, it is. So just so you know, most people after a head injury, they will recover. About 90% of people with not mild traumatic brain injury recover and they'll do fine. But there's still 10% that have ongoing symptoms such as headaches or frustration, problems with sleeping, low energy levels. This is something that can persist much longer than the initial 10 days where most head injuries resolve, mild head injuries or concussions resolve. So it doesn't surprise me, unfortunately.
And those things, anxiety and stress, that
absolutely
would be one of the, yeah.
Absolutely. So it sounds like this person's been suffering for 15 years, and that's one of the main reasons I wanted to come out and talk today, was mainly to let people know that if you've had a blow to your head or your body, whiplash injury, and you feel like something's not right, get checked out. You don't have to suffer. I've had veterans where they've suffered for many, many years with migraine headaches. They've lost their job. They've lost their families because they had a head injury that was undiagnosed, or they didn't seek help. And there's no reason to suffer like that. Get the help you need. Go see your primary care physician. I think they call it GPs in this country. And get checked out.
You observed two veterans who were involved in the same accident and had quite different responses.
Right. So every head injury is pretty much individual. You can have injury to the same area of the brain, and there are guidelines to let the patient know what to expect. We have an idea of what different areas of the brain do. We have it mapped out, but it's still not perfect. This is still a growing field. So just to make that point, I've had vets that have had the same injury, two vets in a tank hit the same roadside bomb, had the same amount loss of consciousness, but they present extremely differently. One could be fairly fine. Maybe their headaches have resolved. They got over it very quickly. But then another one is severely dysfunctional, can't hold much of anything together. And those are people who are right next to each other in a tank. The thing is, even on a scan, if we're looking at the scan, and they look the same, we still don't have an idea of what's going on at the microscopic level, and everybody's different.
My 7-year-old is prone to hitting his head, says one parent. For example, last week he slid down a banister at school and fell off, hitting his head on a tree trunk at a large egg that lasted 4 days. Will these repeated minorish problems cause some issues in later life?
Well, it depends if he had enough to sustain a concussion or a mild head injury. If he just hit his head, he didn't have any change in consciousness, any confusion, problems with memory. If he was monitored very closely and it was just a superficial type thing, it should be fine. However, if he did have a concussion, studies have shown that he'll be prone to more head injuries. Okay, so after a head injury, the chances of having another head injury after the first one are 3 times as high. If you've had 2 head injuries, your chances of having a third injury are 8 times as high as the general population. So it's very important to get these things checked out. I know when I was a kid, my parents were kind of, rough with us, walk it off kind of thing.
Yeah.
But really, that's not the right approach.
Here in New Zealand, we pour water on it.
Why would you do that?
It's, no matter what the injury on the rugby field, we come on, pour some water on it, get under the way again.
Ah, I got it.
No, it's more of an 80s thing, that one.
It's Band-Aids in the US.
Yeah. Do you have a view on sports, boxing, American football, rugby, dare I ask?
I feel like if the person is old enough to consent to it, I think it's fine. I am not so much for the participation of juveniles in such a sport. I feel like we should let their brains completely develop before they go into contact sports like that.
Okay. That's an interesting one. My father had his 3rd head injury. The first 2, he got confusion and some of those other things. But the 3rd one, he became kind, thoughtful, and almost angelic. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have.
Have you?
I have. I've had a patient who had a pretty significant head injury, and I was expressing my sorrow to the wife, and the wife told me that he's actually a lot nicer to her than he used to be. But that's not the norm. A lot of time, usually if there's going to be a change in personality, it's going to be for the worst. I'm glad the person became angelic, but that's not the norm. Okay. It does happen, though.
Why are you more likely to have another head injury if you've had 1 or 2?
Yes, after the first one, you're 3 times
yeah,
as likely.
Why?
I don't know for sure if it's because the areas that have been traumatized by the brain are more prone to injury. I can't tell you for sure.
Or maybe you're just a risk taker.
It's possible. It is possible. So people with higher risk tolerance, typically men, for example, will have a higher rate of head injury. About for every 2 men, there's one woman that has a head injury. Right. So that does point to some of it.
It's a sad story. 15 years ago, I suffered a head injury. I can relate to all the things you mentioned. And the hardest thing I found was learning. The inability to retain information in a new job was just soul-destroying, and even today I'm aware that some information is hard to process and retain. I do my best, but career-wise, it's been a difficult, unseen issue to manage.
Absolutely. Head injury can absolutely cause cognitive issues, problems with memory, attention, processing speed. There are therapies that are available. So at ABI, we have the best brain injury therapists available in the country. We have physiotherapists who work with motion or mobility, balance. We have occupational therapists who work with daily routines and are basically activities of daily living such as dressing, bathing, feeding, so forth. And then we have speech therapists. And some people get confused when I recommend a speech therapist see them because they might not seem to have anything wrong with their speech. Well, a speech therapist also works with memory concentration. They also work with swallowing disorders. But speech therapists are an excellent person to see if a person is having those issues. And while they might not necessarily be able to fix the problem. They can guide them on what to do and teach them compensatory strategies that will help them adapt.
How much of a difference can rehab make?
It can make a huge difference. So there have been numerous studies reporting the benefits of rehabilitation after a head injury. So there, I mean, you could do a literature search. There are dozens and dozens.
I'm getting a few people asking you about, and by the way, if you just tuned in, sorry, I should have reminded you, we're listening to Dr. Tanya Harris. She is a specialist in brain injuries. She's originally from Florida, has been here for almost a year, and she works at an organization called ABI Rehabilitation as the medical director. People would like me to ask you about certain solutions, medicines. Does Dr. Tanya know anything about lithium post-head trauma?
Okay. So lithium is one of those medications that has been shown to improve recovery after a head injury. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be lithium. It can be a number of other medications as well. But really, it probably, if you're thinking of medicating for head injury, you probably want to see a brain injury specialist.
Yeah.
Sometimes a primary care or a GP can always help you in the beginning. If you feel like you have a head injury or you've suffered from one or you're not quite right after one, then go and see your GP. And if the GP feels that you have residual issues that might benefit from a specialist evaluation, then they would send them to us or basically a brain injury specialist. But see the GP first and get checked out. Sometimes it doesn't have to be head injury related. It can be lots of things can cause similar symptoms. There's a whole list of symptoms of head injury, but it's not specific to head injury. For example, if a person has dizziness, maybe it's a heart issue. You know, you mm-hmm. should get checked out. Go to the GP.
A lot of people are asking about fatigue. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do to deal with fatigue? Is that a known symptom of brain injury?
That is a known symptom of head injury. And what I'm going to say is probably not what some people want to hear. You do want to pace yourself, but one of the best ways to overcome fatigue and head injury is aerobic exercise. Mm. So aerobic exercise has been shown to release brain-derived neurotrophic factors, and this increases the plasticity and the healing of the brain, reorganization of the brain. And it can improve fatigue levels. It can improve memory issues. There have been studies that show that the size of the hippocampus, the area which is responsible for short-term memory, actually increases in volume with regular aerobic exercise.
Okay, good tip. Someone wants to know, Steve was knocked out for 30 minutes in a cycling crash. He wants to know, does the length of concussion determine the severity?
Yes, absolutely. So the length of how long he was out is one of the factors that we consider in classifying if it's mild, moderate, or severe. If it was 30 minutes or longer, the loss of consciousness was 30 minutes or longer, then he would actually fall into the moderate TBI range. Mm. He should absolutely get checked out. Hopefully he's had a scan of his head. If you're out that long, you definitely need a scan of your head and need to be evaluated for head injury. Hopefully this has been checked out.
What are you most excited about in this area?
I'm most excited in how much it's changing. When I started out in med school in the 90s, I was told that head injury, once it happens, that's it. You're done. You know, it doesn't really get that much better. It's a static issue. That was in the 90s. When I was finishing my specialization, there was all this new research coming out saying, wait a minute, the brain is actually more adaptive than we give it credit for. There's processes, neuroplasticity, where the cells in the brain can redifferentiate, and you can have reconnection of or connection of brain synapses or neurons in the brain, the brain can heal a lot. And there's a whole branch of brain injury medicine that's trying to focus on how to increase those connections and improve the neuroplasticity. I mentioned aerobic exercise being one of them. That's something that's a fairly new research focus. There are some medications like SSRIs that can help with that. Mm. So we're trying to learn more, and it's taking time, but we're getting there.
Nice to have such a hot shot in the country on this topic. Welcome to New Zealand.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you very much.
And that's Dr. Tanya Harris, who is the newish medical director of ABI Rehabilitation, who deal with brain injuries.